everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with midwifery business consultation. I have Anne with Southern Cross Insurance Company with us today. She has been a great resource for me the last couple of weeks, and I just, her wealth of knowledge, we think very similarly. And there's been so many discussions with midwives the last month, month and a half about malpractice insurance. I wanted to get her resources out there and talk about some of these common questions. So Anne, take it away.
Great. Well, good morning. And thank you, Leslie, again, for collaborating on this really important conversation. So as Leslie said, I'm Ann Geisler, and I'm the president of Southern Cross Insurance Solutions. And we're an independent insurance agency. And, you know, we specialize in handling the insurance needs of birth centers and midwives, and also affiliated, you know, practitioners across the country. So, you know, we're really passionate about helping you. Just a little bit about who we are. We really cut our teeth on the Florida market. The Florida midwives were having trouble getting affordable insurance. And, you know, I quickly learned through some really valuable mentors that are midwives, by the way. I'm like a sponge, you know, I'm continuing to learn, because if, you know, the more I learn about your profession, the better job I can do for you. So we were able to find a solution for the Florida market. And so then we expanded countrywide. And, you know, I quickly found out that midwives are really misunderstood and underrepresented. So that was how our journey began. So
I think that's amazing.
And just like I know you were a midwife. Awesome.
Yeah. I've been a nurse midwife for 10 years. I've been around the birth world since 16. And I kind of pioneering, like, okay, I did malpractice with my private birth center, and I was the only one in the state. And so, like, sometimes it's hard being the first to do the leap of faith and show a different way and show the value or the perceived value. But Anne, you and I had talked ahead of time, like, there's definitely a disclaimer. You're not an accountant. You're not an attorney. Like, this is educational purposes. We always want you to, every state is different. Every local need is different. These are just ideas, suggestions to bring to your local experts for sure.
Right. Thank you for reminding me. Yes, I want all your viewers to realize this is purely educational. You know, some of the tips that I've learned along the way were from attorneys. So, you know, you always need to seek, you know, legal advice before you make any changes in your practice.
Yeah, but, laws change.
It's sort of interesting.
Yeah, it's not realistic to keep up with every law and rule regulation change. And that's the whole point of hiring the local experts for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, when people talk about insurance, they just get very frustrated, and they think it's expensive, and why do I need it? And, you know, I was thinking about that as I was coming into work today. You know, insurance is just, it's like the cornerstone of our economy and our families and our businesses, whether we realize it or not. And it's just, it's really important, because it gives us peace of mind and a way to protect ourselves. And, you know, people are always saying, well, I'm not going to be sued. I hope you're never sued, really, seriously. So then they think, oh, I paid all that money for insurance. Well, you know, peace of mind is really worth a lot. And so I just wanted to throw that out.
Very interesting, because I have my life and disability license. And so, yes, I completely understand. Like, when you do financial planning and you do a business plan, if your foundation isn't rock solid, you don't have long-term disability, you don't have life insurance for your business partners, you don't have malpractice insurance, everything you build in your legacy crumbles if one little thing happens. It makes it very, very fragile. Like, I picture midwives on thin ice, and maybe they're skating just fine, but you don't know how thin that, you can't predict the future. You don't know what the environment's going to be like. I mean, obstetrics has a high litigation. Insurance, like you had reinforced, we have house insurance, we have car insurance, we get life insurance, we get business. Like, our professional license and our scope has to be protected as well.
Well, and then I try to remind my clients also about insurance. It's like, you know, we do live in a very litigious society. I mean, that's all there is to it. But you know, also we're only human and we make mistakes. And, you know, that's the reality. And so I think from a, you know, a 30,000 point view, there is like a social responsibility to help people when we make mistakes and pay for those economic damages. And that's what insurance does. So, you know, like I said, our job is to make sure that we align you with insurance companies that are midwife friendly. They understand what you do. They defend appropriately. So, you know, we're not just writing checks out, because that doesn't help anybody. You know, we want you to be defended. And if you're not negligent, that's really what insurance is all about. It's, were you negligent? And if you weren't, we want to make sure you are defended, so you are dropped. So that's, I'm very passionate about that. And I spend a lot of time talking to claims adjusters and specialists about the different kinds of midwives, because they're not all the same. They're all licensed differently and they have different practice standards and statutes. And that's really, really important to understand that.
So one thing to add when you're talking about protecting all these aspects, it's just as much to protect our clients and the future community we're going to serve. What came to mind when you were talking is there was an amazing birth center in Michigan, been around for 12 years. One outcome, they were out of business because they didn't have that defense. They didn't have those things. And so I think it's just, if we want to serve many generations, we want our practices to be around long term. That's a very vulnerable
part
of that puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think also, if you're a solo practitioner, you're in charge. You have control. You make those decisions every day about how you're going to practice and who you're going to take on as a client. But when you form a business, you are now responsible for everybody that works under you and or provide services on your behalf. And, you know, you want to grow your business and you can't follow people around all the time. So that's really where insurance is really, really important. So
I don't know if they were sleep deprived, if they've got something going on in their personal life, like you can write policies and do education all day long. But yeah, like as a business owner, you want to protect yourself, even if you're not giving the direct care. So I really think it is important. And if we can go into the direction of the litigation side, I think it's interesting with COVID and with healthcare as a whole. You and I talked about it last time, premium costs, they go cyclically. So if you want to talk about that a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, the insurance industry is very cyclical. And I actually describe it as a roller coaster. I wish it wasn't that way, because, you know, they have the brightest actuaries to crunch the numbers, to know what to charge. Okay. You know, that are rates that are adequate and fair and appropriate. The wild card is our litigation environment and plaintiffs' attorneys. You know, they request the records, and, you know, that's their MO. They sue every single practitioner that's in the medical record. They're looking for deep pockets. And so that's been very difficult to predict. However, once again, I do think insurance companies can do a better job if they defend appropriately and make sure that if there is any negligence or not. So that's really my crusade, because there have been several companies that quit writing midwives because they were not profitable, because they just settled the claims. The problem is most insurance companies are very afraid of anything birth related, you know, so they see the same headlines and the social media and every, you know, all that they see all the bad outcomes, and that's what they're scared of. So, like I said, that's our challenge, is to make sure that we're dealing with the appropriate carriers that are willing to take a stand and defend you. So
I think it is challenging when you didn't do quote unquote anything wrong, but on an insurance side, it's a business. They look at cost effective. Okay, if we go to defend ourselves, it takes average 50 to 70,000. I can quote unquote pay off this family for X amount,
exactly,
fraction of the cost. It's not, and then it reinforces to consumers like, hey, I'm just like, it's that cyclical, okay, I'm going to defend, and yes, it's going to cost more, but it's putting a stance, because guess what? The consumer also has to defend. They have to put money out and that puts a message. But yeah, it's a tricky side with the midwives, the consumers, the jury system, and the current insurance algorithms out there.
Mm-hmm. Right. You bring up a good point. And insurance companies, they spend on average $55,000 defending a midwife just to get her dropped. Okay. No negligence. I mean, these malpractice attorneys, they charge, you know, in excess of $400 an hour. So a lot of times when a midwife is considering the cost of the insurance, I tell her, I said, you know, once again, just because you have or you don't have insurance doesn't mean you can't be sued. So think of this as sort of like a prepaid legal policy, you know, because if you were to have to go out and hire your own attorney, they want at least $5,000 up front as a retainer. So another thing, another trend that we've seen over the years is increasing board complaints by regulators against midwives. And it's really unfortunate, but, and I'm preaching to the choir here, but there's always been this barrier between the medical community and the midwifery community. And I've seen a lot of, you know, bridge building in that area, but there still is a lot of adversarial action out there. So the problem with that is anyone can file a complaint against your license. It could be the nurse at the hospital after a transfer. It could be the doctor that doesn't like midwives. And you know, those board complaints are very damaging. They're expensive to defend and they can be career ending. So what I've done over the years is I've been able to include coverage for defense of license defense expense coverage under the policy, which I think is really important.
I think that way you don't have to go out and hire your own attorney. Because you're going to spend $20,000-$25,000. If you try to defend yourself, it's going to go a lot longer.
Absolutely.
The trauma, the headache, I mean, to have a lawyer on your team, like you said, that deposit of legal coverage, even if it's not, everybody thinks of the dead baby and the extreme big cases. But what I think of is mostly you rub somebody the wrong way, you did a transfer, even though you didn't do something wrong, and they don't like home. Maybe there was a transfer 2 days earlier and midwives are, you don't know the climate, the environment when you, like, I hear a lot of myths with midwives. Oh, I serve the exactly. Amish, so I'm not at risk of getting sued. And I'm like, it's not the clients that you have to worry about. It's right. The bigger system, if you do any transfer, and anybody that touches your record or collaborate with could be a potential, mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the vulnerability side. I think we don't give enough credit to having an expert from the beginning to nip it in the butt before it escalates. Like, you're in front of the board, you know how to talk the talk, you know how to defend yourself. Midwives aren't good at that.
Right. Now, it's interesting you bring up the Amish community, because I guess they're in your backyard, but I actually had a midwife tell me, you know, that the Amish, you know, are philosophically opposed to suing. She said, however, if they don't like what you did, or there was a transfer, guess what? They won't pay their bill. And they may try to, you know, have you pay the hospital bill. So, you know, okay, maybe there's not a lawsuit, but
there's still an expense, you know, part to defend against. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I guess when we,
when I get calls. Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to say with the aspect of the cost, like, people don't really understand what their policies actually cover. So if you want to talk about some common terms exactly. to look at with different policies and the tail, the no tail, the addition, what is the term for these additional jury protection and the regulatory process, that kind of thing.
Right. And I'll give you a brief overview of that, but a couple of other quick things, you know, as a business owner, I freely share advice with my clients when they call about their businesses, and I learn from them and they learn a little bit from me. But, you know, so many clients call me that don't have insurance and don't want to pay for insurance. So, you know, I tell them, I said, that's your call. I'm just here. I'm a consultant here. I'm just trying to educate you and give you some options. But, you know, as a business owner, I highly recommend that, and once again, this is not legal advice, but this is something that I would recommend you do, is you need to visit your family attorney and form some type of legal entity, some type of legal formation for your business to protect you as much as possible. And your family attorney, it can help you with that in the laws in your state. Secondarily, because we are in this litigation society, I always recommend that you think about implementing in your informed consent process, binding arbitration. And we can send you some resources on that, but it's really important because if you are ever sued, let's face it, we don't want that to go through the regular legal system. And in our regular legal system, they don't understand what you do. And so we really don't want you to be at the whim of what, you know, lay juries and local judges want to decide about your fate. So when you implement binding arbitration, you bypass the traditional legal system. And that whole case is heard by a panel of healthcare attorneys that actually call experts in your field with your licensure, and they make the decision. So I, you know, strongly encourage midwives to investigate binding arbitration. And I also think it's a really good way to screen your clients, because when you go through that process through informed consent with them, you know, the orientation and the contract and all that, if they don't want to agree to binding arbitration up front, maybe there's a reason. You know, we don't want them to think of you as that deep pocket. So once again, that's just some advice for me as a sideline to looking at the cost of insurance. And I think many times people have this perception that insurance is not going to be affordable. But, you know, as Leslie and I've talked about, if you're in business, you're going to have expenses, and insurance is just one of them. So, you know, you need to know what that's going to cost from a budgeting standpoint. And, you know, you just need to, you have to budget for it, and it's a part of your overhead, and it's a fact of life. And I think it's going to give you a lot of benefits, not just the peace of mind, but, you know, many of my clients say now they're able to get in network with third-party payers for reimbursement, get higher reimbursements. Some of you need it for other contracting reasons, credentialing. You know, there's a lot of different reasons you might need insurance.
I mean, even but a one of the most important, of course, Leslie. I mean, so many doctors won't even have a conversation with you unless you've got very similar level of coverage, because they become the deep pocket, or their legal advice says don't talk to anybody that doesn't have malpractice. Because so there's so many benefits to malpractice that we just don't see on the forefront. And yeah, I mean, being midwifery business consultation and helping midwives with starting practices or improving practices, it's the foundation. When we're creating a fee schedule, you budget an accountant, you budget legal advice, you budget marketing, you budget a malpractice, you budget benefits for yourself. And so it's all structuring. And I think nationwide, midwives undervalue our cost. Inflation's going up, overhead costs go up, but midwives are so hesitant to increase their costs. So then they're squeezing their bottom line and getting more burnout. So yeah, that's definitely a conversation for another day. But it is, it's very important. And it's the reverse. The more midwives we can get in, the cheaper the cost actually gets versus just a few do it here and there. One thing I would love to bring up when you talked about different ways to protect yourself and your practice, not just malpractice, you had talked about hinting with an estate planner and a local lawyer, getting revocable trusts, getting an LLC, getting the legal contracts. There's so many things you can do as systems in the backdrops to add layers of protection. So definitely, I just wanted to reinforce, there's so many things out there. If people want to have a discussion with you and I more about these things, we're more than happy to help, because we want more midwifery practices. That's the whole point.
Yeah. You know, I've always been, I've been in business for several decades. And I learned early on, there's a lot of other people out there that are a lot smarter than me. And those professionals are the ones that I surround myself with to fill the gaps. It's all about strengths and weaknesses. But, you know, I never pinch pennies when I'm looking at accounting, legal, professional advice, even for my IT system. You know, I just, that way you can concentrate on what you do best. So I did want to backtrack. You mentioned something really important that, once again, because we handle clients in 49 states and have traveled extensively, we've found out early on there was a barrier for many midwives to practice, and that had to do with the physicians. the physicians didn't want to back up the midwives because they didn't have insurance for backing up that midwife. So what we've been able to do over the past several decades, I'm really happy about this because nobody else does it. We include automatically under every policy coverage for any physician that's acting as your medical director, consultant, referral, collaborating physician, not treating, but it's, you know, a green light. We want collaboration between midwives and doctors. So once doctors realize that, and it's wonderful because it's written right in the policy language. We don't have to put their name on the policy. It's on every policy. Once we talk to the doctors about that, they're like, well, yeah, I'll be happy to back up this midwife and review her cases and, you know, consult, take her referrals, because they have their own insurance, but most of those policies don't cover what I just described. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, we want to be respectful of our colleagues. If you're going
to, did you want to talk?
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, let me touch briefly. I know I keep putting this off. How the policies are actually calculated, and I want to just have this disclaimer here. I'm the insurance agent. I'm your advocate. I'm the one that's, you know, your spokesperson, the median between you and the insurance company. So that's why I want to learn as much about midwifery as possible. It helps me do a better job explaining to the underwriters what you're doing and what the real exposure is. So when you fill out an application, there's a lot of questions on there about your practice, how long you've been in business. And they look at all that. They look at the venue where you're practicing, because the rates are different in every state, you know, depending on the tort environment. You know, they look at how many people are on the in the business on the policy. They look at your birth volume, past and projected, and they look at where it is. Is it home birth, birth center birth, hospital births? They ask you questions about VBAC, you know. They look at your claims history. So it's a complicated formula, but over the years, we've pretty much been able to streamline it in advice to our clients that the biggest factors that affect your insurance, assuming all else being equal, are the policy limit that you need, obviously where you practice, and your birth volume. Because really, if you think about it, they know what you are, what you do as a midwife, full scope. They know everything that, you know, which you're legally trained to do. But the birth volume is a good indicator to them of potential exposure, right? So, you know, for a new practice, it's very difficult, you know, to project that. So, you know, you just have to be conservative. And, you know, for a seasoned practice, it's going to be much easier to project that out. But also what we've been able to negotiate over the years, or what Leslie and I have talked about in the past, are group policies. They're much more affordable. And it's a business policy. It's in your business name, and it covers everybody that works there. So, which is really the preferred route, because you really don't want everybody out there with separate policies, because that does a couple things. Number one, there could be non-concurrent terms. You know, every policy could be different policy limits. That's not a good thing if you're all working for the same business. And also plaintiff's attorneys, they'll latch onto that. They'll start stacking those limits if there's ever a claim, which, you know, we'll give you higher limits. You know, yeah, I just think that's a better solution than writing separate policies. Plus, at the end of the day, it's a more cost-effective approach, and you have more control when it's a group policy. So it has to be an official group. You can't just say.
Mm-hmm. It covers your birth assistants. It covers your nurses. It covers your MAs. It covers the whole company. Absolutely. Versus just that midwife. Like, now you've got a midwife claim. Absolutely. And then the birth assistant was there, and now your business. I mean, it just, there's, people don't think of malpractice is not just for covering that provider, whoever in your business is part of those services. It gives you extra layers of protection.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about what's covered. You know, obviously the insurance companies, They know what you do because they can pull up the statute, the Practice Act in your state. So most of the policies that we provide are what I would consider full scope. So there's obviously every policy has some exclusions, but they're not going to be, with the exception of a few areas, anything that you wouldn't normally expect to not be covered under that policy. So that's really my goal. I try to give you a full scope policy because, you know, whatever you're legally and trained and certified to do, I want that to be covered under the policy. I don't want you to have to feel like, oh, you got to call your agent. Oh, now I'm doing, you know, mammograms.
Got to add an XYZ in addition. Like, yeah, you've got to add, well, this is part of my scope, but I've added this training certification. Now I've every single time, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine how complicated right. that would get.
Right. And sometimes midwives say, well, tell me what's excluded. So I just send them a copy of the exclusions and you can look through it. So, but, you know, and then another question we get a lot of times on insurance is they say, well, what policy limit do I need? Oh boy. I'm going to say, call Leslie.
It depends. So, that's the $1 million answer, right?
it's all about protecting your assets. Unless someone else is, you know, third parties dictating to you what limits you need to carry. And many times, you know, our clients start off with low limits. We can go down to 100,000. And you, as your practice changes, your needs change, you grow, you add staff, you can always increase the policy limits. But remember, a very important part of the policy outside of the limits are all the legal fees. They're all covered. There is no limit on attorney's fees for any kind of lawsuit or a board matter, that kind of thing. So that's just a really important part. You're getting your own attorney when you buy a policy. In addition, what you get, because I align myself with really A-plus companies, that are really good companies, because it's a reflection of me. And once again, they have resources that I don't, okay? But they have full-blown risk management departments that you can call at any time on an 800 number. And I get excellent feedback from those people. They can answer all kinds of questions about running your practice. Somebody doesn't want to pay their bill. How can I terminate this employee? Somebody's requested medical records. What should I give them? I mean, it's any kind of question you could think of, and you're paying for that in the policy. So I always encourage my clients to take advantage of the risk management services. So
I think when you bring it up as the package and bundle, you're not just paying an hourly exchange for this risk catastrophic thing. You are paying for legal support and all these different directions you're paying for. I mean, to hire a consultant to talk to anybody about those things, there's a lot of value in that. So to be proactive, and they want you to do that. The mm-hmm. insurance companies want you to call ahead of time because right. they'd rather educate and be proactive than reactive. And so I know a lot of insurance companies will, even if you do certain education, they'll give you a discount. So there's so much you can work out and customize to your needs. And people just think of, well, I'm getting malpractice to cover me in case there's this really bad outcome, but you're getting so many extra things part of those policies. I don't think a lot of midwives realize.
Right. Yeah. So I just, you know, wanted to point out, you know, sort of in conclusion here, there's a lot of value to a policy. I don't want to sell you a policy if you don't want to buy it. If you don't think, perceive that there's value, then that's fine. I hope maybe I've, you know, planted a few seeds for things for you to think about. But we're always available to answer your questions. And if we don't know the answer, we will find out the answer for you, or there could be a really good resource out there for you. One thing I also want to bring up as an outside resource, I highly encourage membership in the midwifery and the birth center national organizations. I've been a longtime member of ACNM, MANA, NACPM, and there's probably more I can't even think about, but and also on a regional and a state level, and AABC. Because when you're a member, well, number one, there's strength in numbers. And those people have a really strong voice for you with the regulators, you know, the politicians. the insurance companies to help you get reimbursed adequately. I mean, they can fight those battles for you. And they also have terrific resources to you to how to run your business. So, and then you're in the loop too. Now you're going to get all their emails and publications, and you're going to know what's out there. And also a lot of educational opportunities. So, you know, I just really highly recommend membership in all those organizations. And we, like I said, we've been longtime members of all of them. We're sponsors, we're Infinity partners. You know, as a business owner, I'm just so happy that I can decide how I want to spend any money I want to spend for sponsorships for midwifery and birth center activities. And that's what I do. I just plow all that back in because that advocacy is so important. You know, what midwives do is such important work. And I've always said that midwives, they have a higher calling, and I respect that. And they always make me want to be a better person. I'm just getting teary-eyed thinking about it, but I'm just really humbled to be able to work with midwives because, you know, they get to deal with all the moms and the families and miracle of birth every single day. So anything I can do to help protect that, I will do it.
And we need more people like you out in the world. I think the biggest struggle I have as the business side is I know how important accountants and lawyers and insurances are, but there's just not enough resources out there to understand our unique needs and our unique, like you said already, it's like it's a very underserved population as a professional industry doesn't look at midwives as profitable or like they don't understand the calling and the complexity. So I appreciate what you've been doing for midwifery the last 40 years. Thank you. But yes, thank you for your time so much today. And I definitely would love to do this again in a couple months. I think I'll put out a feed just asking people if there's frequently asked questions or things they'd like to hear from you about. And what is a good way for them to get a hold of you if they have any questions?
We can, we have a website that most people go to. It's called themidwifeplan.com. And there's a lot of information there, and there's actually applications there. It's called themidwifeplan.com. And then, of course, we're also available by email or toll-free number. That Leslie, you can put that out there.
Yeah, I'll put it at the bottom.
And most midwives have my cell number. So I'll always take your cell phone call because, you know, birth is, you know, doesn't have a timetable. So I understand that. So if you have a question anytime, you feel free to call me.
Well, thank you so much for your valuable time today. And I hope the rest of your day goes well.
It will. Thank you. Thank you, Leslie. Bye now.